This is a message to all my supporters of this podcast. I'm introducing a new supporters program. You can contribute a small amount as a one-off payment to show your love for this podcast. Thank you in advance for all your contributions. I just wanted to let you know before we start the podcast that I am doing an online podcast course, how to be able to create, get your guests, scale it and monetize it. So please do go to abmpodcastcourse.co.uk and be go into the contact us bit. I'm looking for new people to be able to be a podcast creator and really to be able to develop their skills and knowledge into a podcast. So as I said, go to abmpodcastcourse.co.uk and sign up. Thanks. This is the Absolute Business Mindset Podcast, created and hosted by Mark Hayward. I'm a corporate employee with an entrepreneurial mindset. This podcast will help and support you with new ideas about business. These are my thoughts, ideas, and comments. Today, I've got Yvonne Dam, who is a coach. Hello, Yvonne. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks, Mark. How about yourself?
I'm very good. It's very hot in London, and I think it's hot across Europe. So, yeah, we're all struggling a little bit, but yeah, the rain's going to come later on in the week, so hopefully it'll be all right. So let's go back to your early days in your degree. So you did a management in economics and law in the Netherlands. Tell me a little bit about that.
It's a university degree, which is quite broad, as you can imagine by the name of it. And I enjoyed that a lot. I enjoyed the law aspect. I enjoyed the economics. And frankly, what I enjoyed when I started it is that I had so many opportunities because I found it very hard to make a decision on what I wanted to do next. So that's one of the reasons why I chose the broader education, so that I had more options going further.
And so you then moved to a tax professional qualification and a master's in fiscal law. So yes. Again, you're keeping your avenues open by doing both tax as well as law.
Yes, it was a very interesting. Once I was finished with management, economics, and law, I started working. Actually, I started working with EY, and it was normal. Everybody had to do it. You had to study in the evening. So for 7 years, I went to school on Tuesday and Thursday night. And every Christmas and every holiday, I had exams. So I had to study. So it was quite a journey, I can tell you. And then at the end, I took the degree. And that was even worse. That was like 2 years. And then I think it was 6 weeks, you had to do an exam and you had to pass it. And if you wouldn't pass it, you were out. So I can tell you, it was quite a journey. So, and it was, the interesting part is that I already started working in international tax. I've worked internationally my whole life. So my fiscal law, or the law thing that I was working with day to day, was maybe half a day of that entire 7 years of study. Oh, I must say, my reluctancy to study any further, you know, it was major after that, because I was like, I'm totally done. I've done 7 years. I'm happy that I have the degree, but sod it. I'm not going to do anything else.
But that's really interesting that so the professional qualifications is hard work, isn't it? As you say, you have time off, but you then have regular exams throughout the time within the, while you're working as well. How did you manage the work and the studying? Did you give yourself defined times to study, or was it a little bit less formalized than that?
Well, I think there's always, you know, it's depending on how you deal with deadlines, in my view. And how I deal with deadlines is I need a deadline to get something done. Right. So my study is basically, okay, so the deadline is coming up. How further can I push it to make sure that I'll make it? And then, you know, it's trial and error. But what you'll make it. So I'm not one of those perfect planning people, unfortunately. I'm still not in my work. I just go and then I need to do something and I'll make it work. But I did, I think for me, because if I would have to do it again, it would be very hard. But for me, it was like I came out of school, I started working, and I just did this immediately. There was nothing else. So this is what I was used to. And afterwards, I've always wondered, how did I do it? But it's just you get on with it. I think it's with many of those things, and you just make it work.
And would you say now that, because you said to yourself you're not a great planner, but obviously you as a coach now, you have clients and you have other things that you do. Have you got better at planning, or are you still mainly based on deadlines as your motivation?
Well, it's very interesting because my job developed, and at a certain point of time, I got great at planning. I even become project manager. And you know, when you're project managing, all you do is keeping an eye on deadline and planning and everything. But it's when I started my own business, I allowed myself to more go with the flow. And naturally, there is a lot you have to plan in life, you know. Even you know, I've got a kid as well, so that means a lot of planning as well. Yeah. And my clients are crucial, so I plan for them. But for me, it is more arranging my life and my business without too much planning, because as soon as I start planning too much, so for example, let's say I want to build a new website and I need to come up with text and, you know, things like that, and I would plan it in my calendar, I would do it the first week and then I would let go because it suffocates me. So I would be more like, okay, I want a new website, I want new text, and when the inspiration comes, I'll start writing. That's what works for me.
Okay. So you worked at PwC in tax, and then you went into management consultancy after that. What was the difference for you between being a tax professional and a management consultant?
Oh, there's a broad difference. Tax is really specialized, and I've done many things within tax. I started my own oil and gas practice, which was amazing because I really like working with that industry. But I found it in the end not challenging enough because it's just the interpretation of the law. And because my field was so specialized, it was, you know, I was like, okay, I've seen the trick, I've done it, now show me something else. And the way PwC is set up, it's part of a broader service called Human Resource Services. So I did a lot of HR, I did a lot of wage tax, I did a lot of sales. But being a management consultant means basically that you get assigned to projects all the time. So it's no longer you sit in the office and at a desk and you've got your clients from there, but you go to your clients and you do the projects, you go in and out, and then you go back again. So it's more project driven, which I really like because it's more changing scenery. And I've seen so many companies from the inside, which I thought was great as well.
Was there a lot of travel that you had in management consultancy?
Yes. I've seen the whole world. Yeah. And I've been part of, I went to New York for a couple of months to join the American team, but it was worldwide sales team, learned the trick. And then I joined the European sales team, and we traveled all over to help the, it was basically executive coaching and help pitching for projects that were over $1 million. So there, it always involved traveling and I thought it was part of the fun.
Good. Okay. So you've worked at PwC in the Netherlands, South Africa, and the UK. How do they differ and how are they similar in the different locations?
Yes. Sorry, I missed a spot. Can you repeat that?
Of course. I said you've worked at PwC in Netherlands, South Africa, and the UK. How were they different and how were they similar, the different locations?
Yeah, and I worked in New York for PwC a while as well. Well, what they all have in common is that, you know, it's PwC. So they all I've got a great network there. That's what they all had in common. That's what actually helped me to get those jobs as well. You know how everything works. So the career planning, that's typical. It's a very professional organization. So that means there's always a way of doing things in a very professional way. And there's a lot of material that you can use and that you can learn from, and the education system is there. Where it's different is, of course, each country, but even each city comes with its own culture and its own habits and how people interact, different ways of doing, different ways of viewing things. For example, when I worked in South Africa, that was more a audit-driven firm. So audit was always in the lead and we came second, where in the Netherlands, where I used to work, we were more in the lead. So that's a whole different perspective. And in London, it was more a standalone. So that changes, and the way people deal with each other, that's very different in each office.
And so how were the cultural differences that you found? So let's take the Netherlands and the UK, for example. So culturally, how were they different?
So let's start with the stereotypes, shall we?
Yes.
So as you know, the Dutch are known for being very direct and very blunt. And that's true. So as the Dutch person in the UK, you can imagine that doesn't always go down well. And I honestly had to learn that, for example, if a British person tells you, ooh, that sounds very interesting, me as a Dutch person thinks, oh, he's interested in what I'm saying. Whereas actually what you're saying, oh, this is really rubbish. Go out of my face with this. So it's the unspoken things that you need to learn. And what I really had to learn is that basically the best way to learn your colleagues is to go to the pub. That's the biggest takeaway. You really bond over a beer, and that's when people show true color, so to say. Yeah. And it was more political as well in England, in my experience. Yeah.
Okay. So you then worked in change management for a little bit, but what I'm going to move on to your role where you worked as a career coach in Happy at the Work agency. You looked at career switching, next promotions and international careers. So first of all, why did you make that switch? And tell me a little bit about the role that you had there.
Well, basically, I started my own company, Amaze Yourself, and I did coaching. And my coaching is really pitched towards people who are very busy in their careers and feel like they're stuck in a rat race. And from my own experience, I knew that if you feel that way, we can work on that. But most likely, people are to change careers. And I thought, okay, so then I will have to also offer career coaching. And the coach that learned me how to set up my own business while I was still working with PwC, she started her own affiliate practice with coaches, and she asked me to become one of the Happy at Work coaches, which I did. And it was more that I knew I had to offer something on the side than anything else.
Okay, so you struck out and you did Amaze Yourself. So as a business, and I would say I would advocate your Power Hour, which I found very useful that we spoke about a couple of months ago. But what made you want to set up your own business? You'd spent a long time in corporate, long time in the business area. What made you decide that you actually wanted to make that big leap and run a business yourself?
Yeah, great question. Well, first of all, I think if I look back on my career, there's one golden thread, and that's coaching. I've been coaching throughout my whole career. It's actually what I really love to do. And at a certain point of time, I think it started before I left to go to South Africa. I was working with a smaller change management firm, and there I took coaching training. I set up the internal coaching there, and I was like, oh, I really would love to do this. And then I moved to South Africa, and it was like this little voice in my head telling me, oh, you should set up your own practice. And I always thought, well, I'm not sure whether I can. But in South Africa, I had two roles. I was in international tax and I was in change management. And at a certain point of time, I felt like I was doing two jobs. Mm. And I thought, you know what? I got mental, basically, because doing two jobs is too much. And I thought, what if I just stop doing certain things? What will happen then? And I found out that actually not a lot happens. As long as you focus on the critical things, that gives you the results. Mm-hmm. And I was amazed because I had always been working, you know, doing everything, get the ticket, everything. And I started trying how far can I push this? And I found out that I could push it really far as long as you really get the results and focus on what's most important. And it gave me such a freedom. It was liberating. And I took this further and I thought, this is what I want to do. And this is what I want to teach people, that you don't always have to run around, work like crazy, because all that matters is focusing on what gets you results. And then you can work way less. So that's how it started. And I pitched the idea with some of my colleagues and they were like, oh, sign me up. Yes, now let me do it, you know. So, and I never looked back.
So one of your things is be a CEO of your life. So is that based on working less and being more of controlling your life rather than having it control you?
Precisely. And I think I also work with business owners and they feel they are the CEO of their business, but not always, and business owners, executives, but they are not always the executives of their own life. Mm. I find that too many people are actually driven by what others want from them, without taking the time out. Is this what I really want? And is that what I really need? And that can be your boss, it can be your shareholders, it can be your clients, your partner, your family. It doesn't really, you know, matter. But too often we are driven by the outside world without actually thinking, but, you know, what do I want? And does this really help me? And in my personal experience and from working with clients, I know that when you're so busy, it's very hard to take that step back and to look at, hey, where do I really stand and where do I want to go? And is this my path? And that's where I step in. So, yes, it's all about taking back control and no longer be controlled about what everybody thinks you should do or what appears to be the norm. But, yeah, go do your own thing.
Okay, so one of the things I'm going to introduce into my podcast, and you are a little bit of a guinea pig, I apologize, but out of the sort of journey story, and we'll come back to your journey story and talk a little bit more about that, but tell me one of your goals that you've got currently working on at the moment. Can you tell me about one of the goals that you have at the moment?
Sure. One of my goals is to become a sought-after coach who lives in a very sunny place at the beach, where I not only work with VIP clients like I'm already doing, but I'm also offering retreats. And I have a very clear picture, and I got to tell you, it looks amazing. That's one of the things I'm working towards too. And I've got a lot of online, I have a whole online academy as well, which I'm currently not using. But my goal is when I'm there, I just want to, you know, start using that again and have that for other people too. That's okay. My goal.
Yeah. And you're pretty prolific on LinkedIn. What's your strategy on LinkedIn?
I love LinkedIn. It's actually when I started working in it's funny, when I started working PwC South Africa in Durban, I found out that the way people do business in South Africa is all through connection, knowing each other. And I didn't know anybody. I knew people in Joburg because that's where I lived for a couple of months, but nobody in Durban. And I was, you know, they created a job for me there, and my job was to expand the business. And that's a bit, you know, difficult if business is done through knowing people. So that's how I started using LinkedIn, and I loved it, and I still love it. And my strategy is basically to show people that I'm having a good time, that I love what I do, and that, you know, people, when they work with me, get results. That's the whole strategy. And I just love LinkedIn because it's a great way of networking. It's how we met. Yeah. I met so many great people, and I enjoy that people really help each other there.
Yeah, I would agree. So one of the other offerings that you do is the Power Hour, which, as I said earlier, I've been lucky enough to work with you on that Power Hour. So what are your common typical clients for that service?
We'll be back after a quick break.
If you want tips and strategies on how to start, grow, and monetize your business online, check out the Digital Revolution podcast with Eli Adams. We interview digital experts from around the world that share their personal stories. They talk about what they're currently working on and where they see the future going. But most importantly, they share tactics in their specific area of expertise with the hope of helping you improve your digital presence online. You can listen to the Digital Revolution podcast on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, or simply click on the link in the show notes below.
Power Hour is really people that have a very specific thing, so a very specific issue they want help with, that is that we can work on in an hour. So it's very specific and it's very practical most of the time. And it can be like, you know, how do I get up with a plan? But then it has to be already very clear. This is what I want to achieve. Now, how do I get there? So it's not for everybody, because if there are many questions still, Power Hour doesn't really get you the results you want, because then it's too short. But if you are like, I've got a plan, but and I really want to get my financial target or just my goal, but somehow, even though I'm working hard, I'm not getting there, help me, then I get a very clear strategy in place that gets you there in no time.
Okay. How important is mindset for your coaching?
Very.
Tell me
it's funny because I'm very practical, and I like to get results, and I like, you know, that you have something to work towards too, because if it's all airy fairy and fluffy, I'm like, okay, you know, it's nice, but it's nothing without action. But I'm also a firm believer, if you do what you've always done, you get what you will always have gotten. You know, there you really have to change the way you look at things. And that can be something like unknowingly beliefs that are holding you back to reach your next goal. It can be beliefs that you're aware of, like, for example, maybe, you know, you went bankrupt before, or you missed out on a big promotion and you're like, well, I'm never going to get it now. Or you've been told in your job, hey, you need to be more assertive, or you're missing, you know, managerial skills. That does something with you. It's not, you know, it does something with your confidence, with your self-belief. So that's all mindset that you need to work on. And it can be very quick. It can be really that we dive into your subconscious, but it's always part of it. And I've got many tools to work on it, because I think it's a game changer.
So would you say that you are a coach, a mentor, or I'm just going to throw this in for a joke, or a therapist?
Oh gosh, no therapist. I have actually in my terms and conditions that if I feel that I can't help somebody because they need therapy, I am, you know, I can say no and refer them further. I have done that too, and the person didn't take it well. But sometimes, you know, this is not for me. This is too deep. I don't want to go there. Mm. And it's funny because I'm giving a presentation soon about the difference between mentoring and coaching. So I looked it up. So yeah. I can tell you, a mentor is, for example, if you work in a corporate, somebody's already at a certain level and he's done the job and he's just giving you very practical advice and on-site and career advice. It's somebody you bounce off ideas with, right? That's more the practical side. Mm. A coach and a mentor can also tell you, I should do this if I were you, or rather not do that. And a coach, if it's done well, will more ask you questions, and through asking the questions, you will get the insights yourself. So I'm more of a coach, but at times I can be a mentor too. It's depending on the situation, but I would rather go for coaching than for mentoring.
Okay. Another one of my questions, which I'm just throwing in there, what would you start, stop, and continue in your life?
Right. So I started something new. So it's only 5 days, so that counts still. Yeah. I live next to the sea, literally. It's a 2-minute walk. And still, somehow, I managed to go not to the sea for many days, even though it's the main reason why I live here. So what I've started to do is to go to the sea every day. And it's funny because I've started for 5 days and then I went away from the sea. So 2 days are out already.
Okay.
But that's the one thing I'm starting to do, to really go to the sea, because I love it. And when I'm there, I'm like, oh, I should do this more often. So that's what I'm starting to do. What I continue to do is I just love coaching. So that's what I, you know, that's where all my focus is. That's my main priority. And what I will stop doing is, what will I stop doing? Yeah, the first thing that that pops into my mind is, oh, I know what I will stop doing. I've got some of the, that's actually something I thought about today. I work a lot with the United States. So one of the things is I have a event every Tuesday night, and that ends at 11 p.m., which I don't mind. But the thing is, then I'm really pumped and I'm awake and I'm like, oh, I need to do more. And then I go to bed at like 1, right, which isn't so bad. But I do have a 9-year-old bouncing ball that bounces in my bedroom at 7 a.m. every Wednesday morning. Hello, you know. So that doesn't really work well. So I actually, the one thing I'm going to stop is, as soon as that Tuesday night stops the event, I'm stop working, and then I'll go to bed earlier. That's the one thing I'm going to stop.
Okay, thank you. So as we've talked about, your previous career was in, you had a career initially at different professional organizations. When you found that you started coaching people and you started coaching small business owners and entrepreneurs, how did you sort of bridge that gap of knowledge, or were you the coach that could just help them come to their conclusions? How did you move into the sort of more business owner?
That took a while, I must be honest. When I started, I really was aiming at my past self, so to say. So I was really aiming at corporate employees who were working too hard and who were stuck. That was where I started. And then I got a lot of experience with, you know, being a business owner myself. And I started, I've done a lot of business coaching. And then I found also that while I did the career coaching, all my clients who went through my program ended up being an entrepreneur. Right. All of them. And obviously that wasn't, you know, that wasn't the purpose. When they joined, they were like, well, I don't know what I want to do, but let's see. And they end up being entrepreneur. So I thought, well, that's actually interesting that I really enjoy it and I get so much out of it. So that's how it kind of developed. And this program I've got now, Be the CEO of Your Life, it's literally all my experience from my corporate career, from my life, and my education as coach and my, you know, being an entrepreneur myself. That's everything is in that program.
Okay. Have you got any plans for pivoting your business into another arena?
No. It's funny that you should ask. I'm actually trying not to for once because I get asked so often to join some other platform or somebody else, or, and I thought that was common. It's I don't know what it is, but I got asked again to join a change management company, which is all, you know, interimers, so to say, so all entrepreneurs, but doing change management. And at first I'm very excited because I love the idea, I love the theory they worked with, and I was like, no, this is what I'm focusing on. So I really am not aiming on pivoting, but I do know that it tends to happen. But it's my goal is actually not to, for once, because I've done already the career coaching, the business coaching, and I've done a lot of other things, but I just want to make a major self bigger first.
How do relationships, you talked about in South Africa, but like it sounds like you've got clients all over the world. How important are relationships to your business? I'd imagine hugely.
Very, 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 very important. Yes. And I'm always surprised that I've got so many in so many areas. I've got a client now who is aiming to launch her own app. And, you know, then we need to speak about, you know, the people she needs to design that app, the ideas she's got there, the app builders itself, get investors, all the whole shebang. She wants a website. Mm-hmm. I know like 10 people, and I'm you know, if I don't know somebody, I know somebody who knows someone, and that's what I love. I love connecting. So it is important, and I'm always surprised that even if I've worked with people maybe 15, 16 years back, I'm still, you know, the connection is still there. I was in New York 16 years ago, right, and my colleague who I worked with then was supposed to come visit me now. It's just that, you know, she's not allowed to fly. But I think that tells you something. Yeah, it's very important to me.
And actually, we got introduced by a mutual,
yes,
as well, Sam. So
and he's amazing too. Yeah, but and I met him in South Africa while he was in Kenya, and then we both relocated back to London. So small world.
Absolutely. One of the things that you claim is that you're able to double turnover, but not double your hours.
Nice, isn't it?
It's a great quote. So we've talked about it being the CEO of your life and prioritizing areas. But so like, is it key performance indicators that are important or high revenue tasks? How do you break that down into for one of your coaches?
So it's for everyone different, of course. It's depending on your business. And what I first do is literally say, okay, so what's your goal? And then and how do you aim to get there? And I must say that many of the people I work with do not have that as explicit. So they're not very clear on, you know, they know I want to make 100,000, 200,000, that's my aim. But when I ask them, okay, so how many packages or how many services do you need to sell, and how likely, you know, is that going to happen? They don't know. They're so busy with all things that it's unclear. So that's the first thing I do, get clear. And then that's already a great eye opener. And then we're looking at, okay, now what are you doing? Literally, what are you busy with? And what is helping you to get your goal? And what's keeping you from, you know, reaching your goal? And how can we stop that, what's keeping you from reaching your goal? And it can be like a lot of my clients, because they're so caring and giving, they do a lot of work for free, for nothing, they give it away, you know. But if you give it away, how can you ask somebody else to pay you $5,000 if you're giving it away as well? That, you know, that doesn't make sense. So it's that's the first thing that we need to fix. And then you already see things happening instantly. So I love that. And then they get the confidence. And then we're going to work on, okay, now how can we make sure that this is structured in the future rightly as well? It's not a once off. So do we need to outsource? Do you need to automate? What do you need to do to really make sure that this is a lasting thing and it's sustainable and not just a once off? And then throughout this thing, we work on mindset, like already said, because if you are programmed, and let's be honest, we're all programmed that you have to work very hard or 24/7, or you always have to be there for your clients, then it's very difficult to all of a sudden start saying, no, I can't do Friday afternoon, because you know what, you're not saying it, but I'm actually going to the pub because I need a beer, you know. And you feel like, no way, I can't say that because I need the client, I need to pay a lot. But the trick is, as soon as you start doing that, and as soon as you put in boundaries, things get so much easier for yourself as well. And yeah, it's double, and sometimes it's triple. It's depending on the situations, and but it's fun.
You do your own tax return?
No.
You're someone else doing that now. I didn't know if you just thought you'd keep in your tax qualifications by doing your own tax return.
No, I mean, I've been out of the Netherlands for like almost 7-8 years, and I left it on purpose. So it's not, I don't, and it's also the field I've never done. I've never done, you know, I've always worked with expats. And I left it for a reason, and I know what to outsource and what not. It's I've done it, and then I hired somebody, because the first few months I've done it myself, and then I hired somebody, and she's like, you made a mess out of it. I was like, oh, okay, well, that's why I hired you.
Exactly.
No, you need to focus on your own expertise. That's my motto.
Absolutely. I was throwing it in as a bit of a joke question. So what would you say? You're now an established coach. You've got clients all over the world. You've told me one of your goals. But what does the future hold for Yvonne Dan?
The future? The future is that I'm going to work with more beautiful clients, and that I'm going to help them, you know, even further. And they're going to be more, you know, the companies are going to become bigger. That's what I already see happening. And I'm going to have a ball doing that. That's for sure. And I'm just going to see where I end up next, because I'm not going to stay in this country. That's for sure. So I will continue to work online, and my team will become bigger as well. And I do not have the intention to become a big affiliate or, you know, franchise or something. That's not my dream at all. It's my dream to continue doing this, but then to start working through the online courses as well. That's going to happen.
And so how do you juggle family? You mentioned earlier that you've got a little boy, a little 9-year-old boy. How do you juggle?
It's a girl.
Oh, it's a little girl. Sorry.
No worries.
How do you juggle that with different times, at working in different time zones and working from home? Is it easy for you?
Yes. Yeah, it's very easy. I work 3 afternoons I don't work.
Okay.
Three nights I don't work. I've got one, you know, like tonight, you're lucky because Monday is my, well, actually I don't work, but maybe sometimes I will make an exception. Mm-hmm. I work Tuesday night and I work Thursday night. Friday afternoon, I don't work. Friday night, I don't work. I don't get people who want to work then because I'm like, Friday is the day you need to celebrate the weekend and life. And it works perfectly well. I mean, I've just built my business around it. And it's one of the things I always start with. How many hours do you want to work? Yeah. And if you see then what money you want to make, is it doable? Yeah. And people never look at it that way. But it's a very easy choice.
And so you said just a minute ago that you're not going to stay in the Netherlands full time. Have you got a plan on where you're going to go to next?
No, don't know, as long as it's nice and hot. But I said that the last time I ended up here. So, well, there's a heat wave now, so I can't complain. But no, I don't know where. It's just, you know, it will move on.
Right, we're going to come to the close of this interview. I've always asked 5 questions. I've now extended it to 6 questions, but it'll be fine. What's the best decision that you've made?
Start my own company.
Best advice you've been given?
I was going to say follow your heart, but I wouldn't know who's ever said that to me. So I think it's actually, it's follow your heart. And I think my parents have taught me that. Yeah, it's when I wanted... When I've been asked to become a partner with PwC to join a partner program, and I didn't. I said no, and that was a very unexpected choice, but it was following my heart.
Good. Who's helped you most in your career?
Oh gosh, so many people. So many people. Well, in PwC, the Netherlands, my boss, who I used to work for, Henk van Capelle. My husband, my love of my life, he's a great supporter. I've always had tremendous people helping me.
Good. Do you have any regrets?
No, never regret what you've done, only what you haven't done. And I had a burnout, and since then I've always decided, you know, do what you want to do. Don't wait.
And so you mentioned a burnout. Was that after the corporate?
During the corporate. Yeah.
And you just realized that this just wasn't for you anymore.
No, the funny thing is I recovered and I still stayed working because I was programmed that you needed to work, but it didn't work out. So I left PwC and joined a smaller firm, and that worked way better, only to join PwC again. But
what are you most proud of in your life?
Oh, I think my daughter, to be honest, because she's an amazing person. She's very funny. She's very strong-willed. And I'm quite proud that, you know, somehow I did this. You know, I don't know. She's done it, obviously, herself. But, you know, she's great. And I'm also very proud of my company and the way my life is. You know, I think I live the dream life for me.
Awesome. What does legacy mean to you?
Legacy. Well, I have to smile because my daughter is 9, but even when she was 7, she already knew that I had my own company. And I know that she went playing with a friend one day. And the mom was like, "But we need to call your mom." And my daughter didn't know my number, but she said, "Look on the website, look online, because it's Amaze Yourself. There's my mom's number." So I was like, wow, you know, that's legacy. So yeah, that's legacy.
And where can people find you if they want to reach out to you?
I'm on LinkedIn or amazeyourself.com. Yeah, with a hyphen.
That's lovely. Thank you, Yvonne. I really appreciate your time. And we'll speak again soon.
Lovely. Thank you so much. I enjoyed being here and I loved the interview.
Thank you. Cheers.